You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
And I was excited to hear that they were in the same flow that we were in, but I did not realize what was being birthed at that time. Hang on, don't pass them out just yet. I didn't realize what was being birthed at that time. And so today was See You at the Pole. It was phenomenally amazing. And I'm sure that, how many people attended See You at the Pole today? You went to your pole today. Bless God. If you've got pictures of what, if I don't have your pictures of what happened at your school at See You at the Pole, send them to me, but I want you to see some of the stuff that happened. But I want you to take a look at it in a strategic way. I want you to see what happened before today. I want you to see what happened last Wednesday in adult service. So while you were in here receiving the word and being prepared, some of you were in pre-service prayer, and I told you that you're here because of prayer. Somebody prayed you into this place. And if you weren't in pre-service prayer, I'm telling you now, somebody prayed you into this place. All right? And so prayer went forth last Wednesday in a remarkable way. And then we had the outpouring that happened today, which I believe is a storm that we're about to get into of outpouring that is going to happen in October. And so supernaturally, God is preparing us for just a flood, a breakout. Y'all ain't got to believe me. It's all good. But I'm just telling you what I hear and what I know in my spirit. It's coming. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. So it's coming. So I want you to take a look at this. Watch this.
I speak to our prayer. I speak to our school system and commend you. Commend you, you spirit, get out in Jesus' name. Driving, pushing that devil. You take your hands off our children. Now,
Jesus.
The outpouring of the Spirit in our schools. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our schools. Our schools. Our children learning the Word of God. Our children in the midst of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Signs, wonders, miracles in our public schools. In our public schools. And the announcer comes on the television. And he says, we now take you to Fort Worth, Texas, where there's an outpouring, they say, of the Holy Ghost. In a public school in Fort Worth, children are on their knees worshiping God. They're coming up to the front, giving testimony of God's goodness. Some of them are preaching. They're preaching. We see the move of God in our schools.
I just walked away with it on, and you did what you were supposed to do, but I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Hang on a second. Let me get you some amplification. Tell about what happened at your pole.
Do you want me to tell you the same way I told you?
Yeah, tell them the same way you told me.
Okay. It started very, very small. There were five. But it grew to 37. And it was very organic. We grown-ups were like way over here. So it was all kids. But the coolest thing about it was they broke into groups, and they broke guys into guys and girls with girls. And they laid hands on each other, and they laid hands on their classes. And then in the middle of this, one of the girls said, I just feel led that somebody needs healing here. Can you guys do this?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't my daughter. This was from a different church. And we didn't even know that there were these kind of people in this church. And I was so excited.
Amen.
Now, nobody stepped up, but that's not the issue.
Yeah.
What happened was that she felt led that somebody needed healing.
That's right.
I'm so excited.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all give God glory. And so the prophecy is that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not just Pentecostal flesh, but all flesh. And they may, you can pass out the notes now. They may be or may not be spirit-filled people, but all flesh means all flesh. Like Ms. Laura said, all in the Greek means all. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Every genre of flesh. And so we have no idea what that lady's background was or whether or not she ascribes to what we ascribe to or whether she believes in the teachings or whether or not she's ever even heard Brother Copeland, Pastor George, or Pastor Terry. But the point of the matter is that she stood up and she said, I feel like somebody needs healing. In order for you to feel like somebody needs healing, there has to be a healing anointing that is moving at that time. So you're going to have to get ready. Matter of fact, if you're just now getting ready, you're getting ready a little too late. You just pray right now inside yourself. Supernatural acceleration. I believe it. I believe that's possible. But I'm telling you right now, young person, we are in a move of God. Amen. We are in a move of God. Amen. We are in a move of God. 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 And God only operates in two ways. Either you get caught up in the move and you're qualified to be in the move, or he will move you out of the way. Read your Bible. Look at the people who prayed for, sought after, cried out, and believed for a move of God. And then look at what happened when it happened. And now look at the people who stood in the way of the move of God. And look at what happened when it happened. I don't say that to warn you or to scare you. I'm telling you right now that there is nothing you can overcome. But the time for shyness and timidity is gone. Let it not even be numbered among you, like the Bible says. So look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody ought to know this scripture like the back of your hand. Everybody knows it. I'm just saying we can all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have. Everybody knows verse 16. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so I'm going to make a statement that you're going to need as a reference for something else I'm going to teach you at the top of this. All right? The statement is this. Jesus, to a certain extent, belongs to the world. Now, we spend a lot of time preaching to you and teaching you that you are not of the world. Jesus, when he was praying, says, I'm not of the world. I come from my Father. But you don't have to be of the world to belong to the world. Here's the deal. I'm not of you. I am not 16. There's not even teen on the end of my name. Not none of the teens. I tried to do the 19 thing and people looked at me like I was crazy. I don't know, 19-year-old got a beard with gray hair in it. Right? I am not of you. However, our relationship is one that I belong to you. I belong to you. When I go to Boswell High School and Taylor or Michaela or any of these girls are anywhere close to me, I go, I'm their youth pastor. Why? Because I belong to them. I belong. If I had to make the tough choice, I choose them. Why? I have a commitment to them. I am in covenant with them. I belong to them. That is why the Word of God can declare that God would that none should perish. Why? Because he's a God of compassion and sent Jesus for the purpose of redeeming the world. John 3:16 is a beautiful statement. God loved the world so much that he sent his son. Now, the truth be told is God loved the people in the world so much that he sent his son that you don't have to perish but have everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. Verse 17 is the completion of that. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. People oftentimes think that Jesus is all about do this, do that, do this, do that. It's all about religion and all of that stuff. And you get pushback in that. It's all about putting rules on you and regulations on you and stuff that you can't do anyway. But look at verse 17. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Now that's going to become important in just a minute. Now look at John chapter 8. It's on your notes. Verse 31, 32 is the anchor scripture for our series. In the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. New Living Translation. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Look at the Message version of the Bible. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed that they believed. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Now, I told you earlier, great moves of God have come upon the earth. Thank God for the Azusa Street outpouring. Thank God for those men and women who operated in signs, wonders, and miracles before. But the question is, what happened? Why didn't it keep going? Why didn't it keep going? There is a secret in the abiding place. There's a secret in the abiding place. And that's why I love what the Message says. If you stick to this, it's not about starting. It's about sticking to it. I don't need you to be happy. I need you to have joy. I don't need you to be excited. I need you to have a peace that passes understanding. I don't need you to fake it till you make it. I need you to take it by faith. Stick to it. In every circumstance, is he who he says he is? If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then look at this. Then you will experience for yourself the truth. And the truth will free you. Then it becomes not Pastor John, not Pastor George, not Pastor Terry, not my mama, not my daddy's truth. Because I've heard this so many times in my life. Well, you get paid to say that. You got to say that. I don't get paid to make my baby believe this. I don't get paid to tell Aubrey this. I can go home and tell Aubrey whatever I want to. And the reason I get paid to tell you this is because I believe it. I didn't get hired because I was good at saying it. I got hired because I believe it. I know it to be true. Now look at John chapter 17. I want you to turn there. 17. Starting at verse 15. This is why you needed that John 3:16 and 17. This is why you needed John 3:17. Look at John chapter 17 and look at verse 15. He says this: I do not pray, this is Jesus talking to the Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the... Okay, everybody else, everybody got a Bible? Didn't Kelsey make you raise your hand if you didn't have one? So everybody should be at John chapter 17. Look at verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have everlasting life. Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Why? But that you keep them from the evil one. Now, there's a reason why Jesus teaches his, in his teachings, he goes out of his way to teach his disciples that you are in the world, but not of the world. The world hates you because you're not of it. So when Jesus is talking about the world hating the disciples, he's not telling the disciples to hate the world. He's telling the disciples that the influence that is in the world hates you. The evil one that is in the world hates you. But right after that statement, he says, take heart. I have overcome the... So look at verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not... What is it? Let's say it together. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? So you sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify means set them apart. I don't want you to take them out of the world, Father, but I want you to set them apart by the fact that they know the truth. They can tell the difference between the truth and the lie. See, the thing about darkness is if you let darkness go all over the place, everything will be dark. And there's no discerning until light comes. Truth is light. And so when light comes, it makes you know that this is darkness. A lot of people don't identify darkness because they don't know, because they've been in darkness for so long. But the Bible says that you should be sanctified by the truth, set apart by the truth, made holy by the truth. You're righteous because you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus prayed, God, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, which means that you should have no other standard of the truth except the word of God. Now watch what it says in the Passion version of the Bible. Passion translation of the Bible. I am not asking you to remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil. For they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. This is Jesus talking. The level to which you belong to the world is the level to which Jesus belongs to the world. And what that means is this: the responsibility that you have to the world is the responsibility that Jesus has to the world. The connection that you have to the world is the connection Jesus has to the world. And the function that you have in the world is the function that Jesus has in the world. Have you ever, has anyone ever said to you, I bet you can't do this, and then did something? And then you looked at them and you said, well, if she can do it, I can do it. Or if he can do it, I can do it. Typically, that's because you think that their skill level is beneath yours, right? And you're like, my skill level is way up here and this skill level is way down there. So if you can do it, then I know I can do it, right? From now on, I want everybody in 1440 to have this attitude. Are you ready for me to tell you what your new attitude is?
Yeah.
You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You sure you're ready? You sure you're ready? Whenever you read the word and you look in the Bible and you see Jesus doing something, I want you to say from now on, if he can do it, then I can do it. You don't realize how much that'll revolutionize your life. You start reading your Bible and you see Jesus spitting on the ground, making clay and putting it on somebody's eyes and their eyes get better. And you're like, well, if Jesus can do it, then I can do it. Jesus turns around, looks at a whole troop of soldiers, and they say, are you the Son of God? Are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I am. And they're like, you just walk into Walmart. Quick, I am. Now, you got to try it a couple of times. You got to be willing to do it. You can't do it. You can't do it not expecting something to actually happen from it. You got to do it with faith, right? Right? Jesus goes in to a little girl who had died and tells everybody around there, look, leave me and death alone. I don't need nobody in the room but me and death. One of us is coming out. The other one's going to limp. Somebody in this room's getting whooping and ain't nobody in this room but me and death. And what death, y'all going to make me preach. And what death got was a foreshadowing of what it was going to get in the grave when Jesus was crucified. So when he walked into that room, he said, you know what? It's not even time for me to have the full manifestation of this, but because this is a daughter of the living God, I am going to move time and I'm going to conquer death right now just to let death know that later on it's going to be conquered anyway. God will stop time on your behalf. He'll take a miracle from the future and bring it into your present. That's why I can tell you stuff like you're about to experience a move of God that neither you have seen nor have the people that went before you have seen. Because when God finds a group of people, when he finds faith in the earth, when he finds faith, he'll say, look, everybody else is bound by time, but I will stop time. I ain't going to preach time stopping. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So look at, I got a book in my hand. Look at the rest of this. For they no longer belong to the world any more than I do. Your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. How do you get holy? By the truth. I have commissioned, now everybody got, say commissioned.
Commissioned.
Now this is the part where you, that means you got something to do. I have commissioned them to represent me or represent me or to go into situations looking like me, to do stuff as if I would do it. Every once in a while when I counsel people or when I talk to people about what's going on, I tell them, hey, do what I would do. But I don't want. We don't go there. Do what I would do. What would I do in that situation? I'm not saying I know it all. I'm saying that when you don't know what you should do, do what the person that you represent should do or would do. So if you represent Jesus, you don't have to know what to do in every situation. Just ask yourself this: what would Jesus do in this situation? You in a conversation you ain't got no business being in, just ask yourself this. What would Jesus say in this conversation? It'd change you. It'll revolutionize your whole friend dynamic, your social networking and everything. You ain't got to try hard. You want to live a holy life? Just start talking about Jesus. Negative influences get removed out of your life like that. People like, what she say? Jesus. Oh, no, we don't even want her at the party. Don't worry about it. Why? Why? Because you represent him. just as you commissioned me to represent you. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, part of the Trinity. And his prayer is, I have commissioned them to represent me the same way you commissioned me to represent you. Which means if he wants you to look like him and he commissioned you to look like him and he was commissioned by the Father to look by the Father, by default, that means you look like who? The Father. It's been a long day at school. Y'all done been doing too many equations and all that other good stuff, right? So if you equal Jesus and Jesus equal the Father, that means you equal the Father, right? Is that correct? All right, praise God. Let's keep going. And yeah, y'all got that background knowledge. You understand that part, right? All right. Now, the word free is that Greek word you see on that page that I'm not going to try to pronounce. But it means free, independent, and the majority of its use in Pauline writings reflects a literal understanding of freedom or what it means to be free, i.e. freedom is the opposite of slavery. So please understand that freedom is not struggle. When was it that, I think David said this, some of y'all think freedom is dodging bullets. I'm going to show you in a minute what an example of freedom is in the Bible. Freedom is not dodging bullets. Freedom is not compromise. Freedom is not compromise. Freedom is not there's a spirit of depression on me, but I smile today. No. Freedom is every moment of every minute of every day, all for God's glory. Every minute of every day, all for God's glory. Every minute of every day, all for God's glory. Every minute of every day, all for God's glory. I'm not thinking about next minute. I'm thinking about right now. Right now, am I delivered? Because I'll deal with next minute in a minute. But right now, I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. Look at this. It's next minute. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm still delivered. And you continually meditate on the fact that you are delivered. It's a lifestyle. The lifestyle of freedom. Now look, shall set free is a verb statement. The truth shall make you free or shall set you free. It's a verb statement which literally means to deliver or to liberate. So when someone experiences freedom, they have the ability to set someone free. To liberate someone. Now remember that word liberate. Say liberate. Liberate. Say liberate. Liberate. Say liberate. In power politics, in the world economy, the word liberate typically is accompanied by some kind of war. When people are liberated, there's typically a show of force that comes along with liberation. I want you to remember that. Force typically accompanies liberation. Now, this word is interesting. Really free is what the word is in the actual Greek, is what our direct English translation, but it's that free indeed word. It's an adverb that means real, genuine, truly, really, certainly, as in it really exists. So when the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, it means if the Son sets you free, it's not fake freedom. If the Son sets you free, it doesn't mean you put on a church face. If the Son sets you free, it doesn't mean you act like you're free in front of the right people, but when you're in front of other people, you curse and do all other kind of manner of jacked up junk, and your chat room talk ain't even what it need to be, and everything, and what you posting on social media is one way on one profile, but when you switch profiles, you somebody else that just came, look like they living for not Jesus. See, that's what real freedom is. Real freedom means you are really free. You are really free. You are really free. When I was in high school, I don't know how y'all get down and what y'all tolerate in your high schools, but in my high school, the worst thing you could be is fake. Couldn't stand fake people. Couldn't stand, matter of fact, people talk about it, she's so fake. He's so fake. Means you one way in one time and you're another way in another time. Being fake like that will disqualify you from a move of God. It's not that God doesn't want to move, it'll just, you'll move yourself out of the way. Because whom the Son sets free is really free. is really free. Certainly free. All the way free. 100% free. No turning back kind of free. Y'all remember when you sang this song? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. See, it's the people who turn back. Because if you were following my Jesus and you knew the benefit to following my Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that the people who turn back go straight to hell. But what it does mean is if you're going to be serious about your faith, you got to decide that you don't turn back on Monday and then turn back on Tuesday and then get resaved at the top of the service on Wednesday so you can amen me when I'm in my sermon. Yeah, Lord. I'm going to leave y'all alone. I realize y'all like, why is he messing with us today? Remember this from last week. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus used this pattern to get his disciples ready for ministry, for the ministry that they were called to. The ministry and commandment to set his people free. It starts in Jerusalem with a supernatural baptism. Say this, say, I am Jerusalem. Say it again, I am Jerusalem.
I am Jerusalem.
The epicenter is in Jerusalem, and it starts in Jerusalem, and you are Jerusalem, which means that you got to get you right before you can get somebody else right. That's what we learned last week, right? All right, now watch this. Then it spreads to all of Judea and Samaria, your place of influence, which is what we're talking about tonight. Your place of influence. It's your place of influence. Then it rose like a tide. Y'all like the way I put that in there, didn't you? Over everything. Bless God. Then it rose like a tide. Look, don't talk to me about Ole Miss. Then it rose like a tide over everything in its path and ushers in an outpouring of Noah proportions. Of Noah proportions, of Noah proportions, of Noah proportions. In Noah proportions, everything righteous floats and rides the wave. Everything not righteous drowns and gets out of the way. For some of y'all, that is encouragement. For others of you, you're like, wait a minute, which one am I? In Noah proportions, everything righteous floats and rides the wave. Everything unrighteous gets drowned and moved out of the way. I believe that there are some things in your life that are getting ready in this outpouring, in this October outpouring, because you're being prepared in supernatural September, supernaturally. In the October outpouring, it's going to get completely obliterated, drowned, and moved out of the way. And it's already starting to drown now. And I can promise you it will die if you don't throw it a life preserver. Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1. Well, actually, let's start at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Actually, no, let's go back up to verse 1. Watch this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, which means Jesus was a teacher. He taught his disciples, like you're being taught now. Until the day which he was taken up after he threw the Holy Spirit. How did he do it? How'd he do it? How'd he do it? Had given commandments to the disciples, to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So they were being instructed in the things of the kingdom of God. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't know what the things of the kingdom of God are.
Yeah.
Say, I got a teacher. His name's Jesus. Yeah. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Say, I'm Jerusalem. Say, I am Jerusalem. Say, I am Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, young person. One of the best lessons that I could ever teach you is to not let anybody shake you off of you. Don't depart from Jerusalem. Don't let anybody make you depart from what you know to be true. You are a carrier of the outpouring. Don't ever let anyone question that. Don't depart from Jerusalem. But watch what it says. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water. Hello, dry bones. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, there they go again. Focusing on stuff ain't got no business focusing on. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So now we're talking about Judea and Samaria. Verse 14. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so how did it happen? They got their commandments. They were in Jerusalem. They had gotten Jerusalem straight. And then they went to the prayer place and started to pray. And they kept praying and praying and praying and praying. And praying. Why? Because they weren't up there going, oh, Jesus, bless the food and then bless everybody who prepared it. And bless mama, Lord. You know, she got a little bit of the gout. And then bless. That was not the prayer. The prayer was, Father, you said an outpouring is coming. And since an outpouring is coming, we contend for the outpouring. We won't leave until the outpouring comes. We will not move until the outpouring comes. We will not depart Jerusalem, but we'll wait until the doorposts are shaken. We believe that power is coming. And since power is coming, we give ourselves over to be receptacles of the power. We want to move in your power. We want to see your power. We want to experience your power. See, that's what you need to be doing. Because look at what happens as a result of verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. What were they doing? What were they doing? Well, verse 14 just told us, and it didn't change. They were praying. We're praying. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared a divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them the utterance?
Spirit.
Who gave them the utterance?
Spirit.
Who gives the power? So the Spirit gives the utterance and the Spirit gives the power, right? Is that what we're seeing? Now watch this. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when they heard, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, and every one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear them in our own language in which we were born? Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language, in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking, saying they were filled with new wine. Oh, they're just drunk. How many times have you ever walked up to somebody, heard them speaking Spanish, did not understand them, and went, mama, they're drunk? Now watch what happens when you get Jerusalem right. When you get Jerusalem right, you can receive power, and the power allows you to change Judea and Samaria. Watch this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea!" I got Jerusalem right. So let me take it to Judea. Let me take it a little bit further. Let me get it outside of myself. Yeah, I know I denied Jesus. But when the power came, I got me right. I got Jerusalem right. And so now I can take it to Judea. Yeah, I know I used to be caught up in lying and deception, but I got me right. Now that I got me right, I can get my school right. Yeah, I know I was not the best person ever, and I'm not been a model citizen, but I've gotten me right. I've let the power come on me to get me right. And now that I've gotten me right, I can get my church right. He starts talking to men of Judea. Because where did Jesus say he was sending them? First in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it should come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on how much flesh? All flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Last week, I told you, I gave you a scripture, Romans 10:14, that says, how are they going to call on him whom they not heard? And how are they going to hear unless somebody preaches? And how are they going to preach unless somebody is sent? You are the preacher. You are the preacher. And there are people waiting on you. Look at me, young person. All the rest of this is on your notes. You can go back and read it later, but I want you to look at me. I told you last week that I was going to tell you how to set people free. I tried to make a list all week long. I tried my best to make a list all week long. I did. You know what I got? One word. Power. That's it. One word. Power. One word. Power. To set free means to liberate. God's prescription for deliverance and liberation is supernatural power. If you're going to be effective in Judea and Samaria, like the pictures we saw earlier, if you're going to be effective on your campus, you got to have power. You got to have power. The reason power is so effective is because it has been God's prescription for deliverance in the past. God tells Moses, I am going to deliver my people. I've heard their cry, and I'm going to deliver my people. Psalms 138 declares, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. What kind of hand? What kind of arm? What kind of hand? What kind of arm? You don't reckon that was powerful, do you? You go tell Pharaoh that wasn't powerful. By the way, you're going to have to go scuba diving to get to him because he's in the Red Sea. When God gets ready to move, young person, he moves everything out of the way so that he can move. He does not share space. He dominates space. And the beautiful thing about this is this. There are people who are waiting on you to set them free. But not only that, you have the ability to set them free. You have the power to set them free. Romans chapter 8 tells us this, that all of creation has been waiting in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Why? To liberate all of creation. It's your assignment. And you have the power to do it. Do you believe that you have the power to set people free?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Say this. Say,
I've got the power.
Okay, I'm going to need y'all to get some soul about you. I'm going to need y'all. So I brought something to help you out. Okay? Say, no, say it. Say,
I got the power.
All right, now everybody stand on your feet. Now, I brought something to help you out. Say,
I got the power.
Now watch this. VJ, kick my video. Time from now on, when I tell you to say I got the power, I want you to hear that music. I want you to hear that music. And then at the end of it, I want you to go, yay, yay, I got the power. You have the power. You have the power. And there's somebody waiting on you who does not have the power, who cannot do it on their own. They don't have it, but you do. Say,
I got the power.
Say, I got the power.
I got the power.
Some of y'all gonna walk into your school. I got the power. You're going to be on aisle five and watch, I got the power. Laying hands on people.
I got the power.
You have the power. You have the power. God is raising up a generation of people to experience a move unlike anything he's ever poured out before, because you qualify. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because you have received righteousness on a level that allows you to qualify for a move of God. Say,
I've got the power.
That's good. I heard somebody singing it.
I got the power.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power. God, I thank you for your power. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your power. I thank you, Father, for your power. God, I thank you for your power. Thank you for sending your power. Thank you for sending your power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Make no mistake about it, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Blake, where are you at? Blake Stern. He's over there? Hey, do me a favor. I want that video that we showed at the top of the sermon from the start of the song. I want you, as we leave, and those of you who need to leave, as soon as the video starts playing, you can go ahead and leave. But I want you to get a picture of power in your head. In your head. Because sometimes what you see will make you doubt power. And so I want to help you by giving you something that you can see even when you doubt that it can happen. A lot of people, when we talk to them about starting campus clubs, they go, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can do that. Any campus club leaders in the house? How many of you said, I don't know if I can do that? Well, half of them. Half of the two that are up here. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. What am I going to do? I'm homeschooled. I don't have a campus. What am I going to do? Take my brother outside and make him pray at the fence? But some of these pictures were from homeschoolers who decided to come and pray. Amen. How many homeschoolers in here were with us at the poll today? One. Two. Three. I got another one in the back. Four. There's another one. Hallelujah. They're like... Praise God. All right, y'all ready? All right, if you need to go, you are dismissed. But for those of you who can stay, I want you to take a look at this one more time and get this song. Yeah, absolutely. Come here. It's right here.
Yesterday, I was praying with a friend, and during the intercessor, during us praying, the Lord gave me a vision of the move of God. And he was saying it. He says... He said, you got the power. He said, you got the power. And in the vision that I was seeing, the power was coming from heaven into you and shooting out of you.
Hallelujah. Say, I got the power. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's take a look at what the power will do. Give me some volume. Y'all watch. You can sit down. You've seen it already, but now enjoy it. Hey, hang on before y'all start playing. I believe they're getting ready to dismiss something, but I think that this confirms something in my spirit. I am blessed. Well, praise God. I'm glad you believe I'm blessed. I am. I am blessed. I am blessed that setting people free is my full-time job. What I do every day. It is what I do every day. Every day I'm either doing something, getting ready to set somebody free, or I'm in the process of setting somebody free, or I'm celebrating with somebody who the God has set free. And I'm excited about that. So when I was on the stage earlier, I told you that when I was getting ready for service in the speaker's room, God spoke something to me, and then God spoke something to me on the stage, and I told you what he said on the stage, but I did not tell you what he said in the speaker's room, and I think this is confirmation. Y'all, we may or may not go there. Y'all keep a watch on time and just tell me when they're actually dismissed, and we will dismiss after that, after this. The Lord spoke to me and said, there is a young person, or some young people. He actually didn't say there is a young person. He just... He made me to understand and know that there are young people in here. Now, hear this very carefully, because I'm not giving you a job, okay? All right? I'm not hiring you tonight. But he made me to know that in this move of God, the move will be so significant and sustained that the church will grow daily, just like the book of Acts, and that there are some young people in 1440 who you have said in yourself, man, I wish I could work for EMIC. I want to work for EMIC. I would love to work for EMIC. So much so that you feel like it's God prompting you. Like there's a burden for the work of the ministry. And even if it's not EMIC, Because I heard EMIC, but he's leading me to understand that there are people in here, you want to work in ministry. Like, you want that to be your job. You want that to be your vocation. I dealt with a lie from the enemy for a long time in my life that said that if you're going to be in ministry, you got to work to support your ministry habit. You got to earn enough money to justify you going out and doing your play thing, which is ministry. I was a youth pastor for 13 solid years where I had 2 and 3 other jobs on top of it. And I'm going to tell you now, there's no such thing as a part-time youth pastor. If you're doing it right, that ain't possible, brother. And for those brothers who are and sisters who are what we call bivocational, my God, I understand. I love them. Anything I can do to make their life easier, I'm willing to do it. And you can ask my key leadership team, a lot of our conversations center around what can we do to support other youth pastors. But the Lord just led me to know that we are raising up more than just people who are going to be able to minister out there in this outpouring. There are some people who are going to be able to minister in here in this outpouring. And so if you're here tonight and you would say, maybe that's why I didn't sense in my spirit that there was another version of the altar call. But if you're here and you would say, I know now that I have a longing to be in full-time ministry. And maybe the Lord has spoken that to you through the avenue of saying, I would really like to work for EMIC. I would really like to work for KCM. I don't want us to ever look at that and go, oh, we can't talk about that because they may get the wrong idea. Well, baby, I'm not raising you in the faith for you to go out and squander it. I'd rather raise you in the faith and sow you right back here. Ain't that right, Blake Stern? Wherever he's at. There he is. Come here, Blake. And so I asked Pastor Cindy to come. And Pastor Cindy is my boss. Come on, Pastor Cindy. And Pastor Blake, yeah, I'm going to hang on to that. Pastor Blake has been here since he was born. Almost. Right at it.
Close enough.
And I'm going to ask you, if you have a yearning in your spirit to be a part of the move of God that is here and a part of the move of God that is you working in full-time ministry, if that's you, come here. I'm going to give you some wisdom once you get up here. But come on, don't let that stop you from coming. The wisdom that I want to give you is this. I want you to understand that wanting to be in full-time ministry, actually, hang on. People who are here for full-time ministry come to this side. People who are here for full-time ministry and you specifically heard EMIC, go to that side. I knew there was a way to read this down. EMIC, full-time ministry. I need a break. Praise God. I knew I heard from the Lord. For those of you who are thinking full-time ministry and you have that in your spirit, you know that in your spirit already, let me tell you this. It is not only possible, it is biblical. A workman is worthy of his wages. Whatever, when you work for the kingdom, God will take care of you. You don't look to people to validate your call, and you don't look to people to tell you or to take care of you, to sustain you. As a matter of fact, money does not even sustain you. It just follows you. You get that? Money doesn't sustain you. It follows you. Now, come here. Y'all just stay over there for a minute. Pastor Cindy, if you'll come here. And I just want us to just lay our hands on these folks. Because I believe that the age of entering into full-time ministry, because of the acceleration of the age, that your chronological age of entering into full-time ministry is going to start to do that. You're going to find yourself at 19, 20 years old operating in full-time ministry. You're going to find yourself at 17, 18 years old operating in full-time ministry. Because the outpouring is happening. It ain't even coming anymore. It's happening. It's happening now. You've seen it already. And so I just want you to go ahead and put yourself in a receiving posture. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. And as we lay hands on you, I want you to receive that assurance. Just receive. This is a point of contact between us and you. That we agree as your youth ministry with you, with the calling on your life. We support you. Father, now in the name of Jesus, these are your men, your women. You have chosen them. They did not choose you. You chose them and called them that they should bear fruit. And so, Father, I pray for fruitful ministries. Fruitful ministries. Father, I declare that this is a generation of no compromise, and they won't do it the way that it's been done in the past. Their fruit will remain. Their fruit will remain. Their fruit will remain. What they touch will remain. What comes out of them will remain. The words that they speak will remain. The outpouring that they operate in will remain. These are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And there's a standard set for them. That to whom much is given, much is required. And we require out of them. We place a demand now on the faith inside them, the word inside them. And as we lay hands on them, God, we agree with you. We agree with you, not just with them, but with you, that you would make their calling and election sure. That their calling would make room for them. That there would be opportunity for advancement. That there would be opportunity for professionalism. God, I call out of them a professional spirit. Professionals in the kingdom. Professionals in the kingdom. Professionals in the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.